Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldarai, and today Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Gimel, the fourth parak, Rabbi Yishmael. The Zichu Maseches Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom, and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Ketzad Mevatla, how does an Akum nullify an idol? If he cut off the tip of its ear, nose, or finger, or dented it without diminishing it, it's nullified. But if he spat at it, relieved himself before it or other forms, it is not nullified because these are temporary acts of anger, and he'll return to worship the idol afterwards. The Mishnah concludes, Mechara or Mishkana, if he sold it or gave it as a deposit for a loan, Rebbe says it is nullified, but the Chachamim say it is not nullified. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav argue about this Malchokas. One says, Malchokas betzorif ovid kochavim. The dispute in the Mishnah is about an idol sold to an idol-worshipping smelter, where the seller may assume the buyer will continue to worship it, of a betzorif Yisrael, but where he sold it to a Jewish smelter, everyone agrees it is batel because the Jewish buyer will likely smash it. The other says the Malchokas is where it was sold to a Jewish smelter because the seller may assume the Jew will sell the valuable idol to another idolater. The Gemara asks, if this opinion holds that where it was sold to an Akum, all agree it is not batel, or that they argue about both. The question is not resolved. Point number two, Rav said, Yisrael shezankef levenu lishtachav osla. If Yisrael stood up a brick to bow down to it, uba over the kochavim lishtachav osla, and an Akum came beforehand and bowed down to it, he has prohibited it as a Jew's idol, although it's not his. Morazu gave the source, Ketchil shel Eretz Yisrael. It's like the beginning of Klal Yisrael's conquest of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them to burn all the Asherah trees in the land. But since Klal Yisrael had inherited Eretz Yisrael from their forefathers, Mein Adam Oster Davar She'eino Shelo, and one cannot prohibit something which is not his, then how did the Asherah trees become prohibited? Although some trees were worshipped before Eretz Yisrael was given to Avram, those could be nullified as idols of an Akum. Rather, when the Jews worshipped the eagle, Gala Daitayu Denichale Ba'avodos Kochavim, they revealed their mindset that Avodah Zarah was agreeable to them. Therefore, when the idolaters worshipped their trees, Shechusa Diduabdi, they were acting in the agency of the Jews, and the trees became idols of Jews, which cannot be nullified. Here too, where a Jew stood up a brick for worship, the Akum who comes and bows to it is acting in the Jews' shlichus. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Avodas Kochavim Shehinichua Ovdeha, regarding an idol whose worshippers abandoned it. But Shalom, if they did so in a time of peace and willingly abandoned the idol, it's nullified and permitted. But if they abandoned it B'shas Milchama, during a time of war, it remains prohibited since they did not willingly abandon it when they fled. Rav said, Beis Nimrod, Nimrod's building, meaning Migdal Bavel, built under Nimrod's rule, is like an idol which was abandoned B'shas Shalom. Although when HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattered them, it was like a time of war, they could have returned afterwards to worship their idol. From the fact they did not return, it proves they must have nullified it. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Ketzad Mevatla, how does an Akum nullify an idol? If he cut off the tip of its ear, nose, or finger, or dented it without diminishing it, it's nullified. But if he spat at it, relieved himself before it or other forms, it is not nullified because these are temporary acts of anger, and he'll return to worship the idol afterwards. The Mishnah concludes, Mechara or Mishkana, if he sold it or gave it as a deposit for a loan, Rebbe says it is nullified, but the Chachamim say it is not nullified. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav argue about this Malchokas. One says, Malchokas betzorif ovid kochavim. The dispute in the Mishnah is about an idol sold to an idol-worshipping smelter, where the seller may assume the buyer will continue to worship it, of a betzorif Yisrael, but where he sold it to a Jewish smelter, everyone agrees it is batel because the Jewish buyer will likely smash it. The other says the Malchokas is where it was sold to a Jewish smelter because the seller may assume the Jew will sell the valuable idol to another idolater. The Gemara asks, if this opinion holds that where it was sold to an Akum, all agree it is not batel, or that they argue about both. The question is not resolved. Point number two, Rav said, Yisrael shezankef levenu lishtachav osla. If Yisrael stood up a brick to bow down to it, uba ovid kochavim lishtachav osla, and an Akum came beforehand and bowed down to it, he has prohibited it as a Jew's idol, although it's not his. Morazu gave the source, Ketchil shel Eretz Yisrael. It's like the beginning of Klal Yisrael's conquest of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them to burn all the Asherah trees in the land. But since Klal Yisrael had inherited Eretz Yisrael from their forefathers, Mein Adam Oster Davar She'eino Shelo, and one cannot prohibit something which is not his, then how did the Asherah trees become prohibited? Although some trees were worshipped before Eretz Yisrael was given to Avram, those could be nullified as idols of an Akum. Rather, when the Jews worshiped the eagle, Gala Daitayu Denichale Ba'avodas Kochavim, they revealed their mindset that Avodah Zorah was agreeable to them. Therefore, when the idolaters worshiped their trees, Shechusa Diduabdi, they were acting in the agency of the Jews, and the trees became idols of Jews, which cannot be nullified. Here too, where a Jew stood up a brick for worship, the Akum who comes and bows to it is acting in the Jews' shlichus. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Avodas Kochavim Shehinichua Ovdeha, regarding an idol whose worshippers abandoned it. But Shalom, if they did so in a time of peace and willingly abandoned the idol, it's nullified and permitted. But if they abandoned it B'shas Milchama, during a time of war, it remains prohibited since they did not willingly abandon it when they fled. Rav said, Beis Nimrod, Nimrod's building, meaning Migdal Bavel, built under Nimrod's rule, is like an idol which was abandoned B'shas Shalom. Although when HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattered them, it was like a time of war, they could have returned afterwards to worship their idol. From the fact they did not return, it proves they must have nullified it. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Nun Gimel, and our standard Siman is a Nigerian prince. A Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, who was Mavatla's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, rushed to bow down first to a brick a Jew had just stood up to worship, while his warriors abandoned their idol in a time of peace, which meant it was nullified and permitted. Once again, slow motion. The Nigerian prince, that must be Moran Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince who was Mavatla's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if selling an idol nullifies it. Rabbi Yochanan Rava argue, one says, Machlokas Betzorif Ovid Kochavim. The dispute in the Mishnah is about an idol sold to an idol-worshipping smelter, where the seller may assume the buyer will continue to worship it, of a Betzorif Yisrael, but where he sold it to a Jewish smelter, everyone agrees it is batal, because the Jewish buyer will likely smash it. The other says, Machlokas is where it was sold to a Jewish smelter, because the seller may assume the Jew will sell the valuable idol to another idolater. The Gemara asks if this opinion holds that where it was sold to an Akum, all agree it is not batal, or that they argue about both. The question is not resolved. So the Nigerian prince, who was Mavatla's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, rushed to bow down first to a brick a Jew had just stood up to worship, which reminds us, Rav said, Yisrael shezikef levenu ishtachmosla. If Yisrael stood up a brick to bow down to it, and an Akum came beforehand and bowed down to it, he is prohibited as a Jew's idol, although it's not his. The Akum is acting in the Jew's shlichus. So the Nigerian prince, who was Mavatla's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, rushed to bow down first to a brick a Jew had just stood up to worship, while his warriors abandoned their idol in a time of peace, which meant it was nullified and permitted. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states regarding an idol whose worshippers abandoned it, B'shas Shalom, if they did so in a time of peace and willingly abandoned the idol, it's nullified and permitted. But if they abandoned it, B'shas Milchama, during a time of war, it remains prohibited since they did not willingly abandon it when they fled. Rav said that Beis Nimrod, Nimrod's building referring to Migdal Bavel, built under Nimrod's rule, is like an idol which was abandoned, B'shas Shalom. So once again, the Nigerian prince, who was Mavatla's idol when he sold it to a Jewish smelter, rushed to bow down first to a brick a Jew had just stood up to worship, while his warriors abandoned their idol in a time of peace, which meant it was nullified and permitted. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara, Daf Mem Tes. So the Simran Daf Mem Tes is meat. So here goes. The butcher was going to put meat, that must move on Daf. Memtaz. The butcher was going to put meat in the dough that had been leavened from a combination of yeast of chulin and truma, which reminds us, the Gemara suggests the question of zevzeh gorm is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. A Mishnah states, sor shel chulin v'shel truma shenafu toche isa. If leaven of chulin and leaven of truma fall into a dough, and neither was sufficient to leaven the dough on its own, but they combine to leaven the dough. Rabbi Eliezer says, Achra achron aniba. I fall the last one. If the chulin fell in second, the entire dough is permitted to non-kohanim. If the truma fell in second, it's prohibited to non-kohanim. The Chachamim say that regardless of when the forbidden soor fell in, it only prohibits the dough if it was enough to leaven the dough by itself. So the butcher was going to put meat in the dough that had been leavened from a combination of yeast of chulin and truma, had to wait for the old oven fired up from a sher wood to cool down. Which reminds us, if one fired up an oven with a sher wood, if this firing completed a new oven's hardening, it must be destroyed because any subsequent use benefits from this necessary firing. If it's old, it must be cooled to avoid benefiting from the firing and may be used afterwards. So the butcher was going to put meat in the dough that had been leavened from a combination of yeast of chulin and truma, had to wait for the old oven fired up from a sher wood to cool down, and then be reheated from shavings from an asherah tree that were taken to beautify it, which reminds the Gemara asks, what is the law of those chips which were removed for the Asherah's benefit? Do they remain prohibited like the Asherah, or are they permitted because shavings are not worshipped? Rav Huna and Chiya Bar Yehuda Rav disagreed about this question, and a braisa supports the lenient opinion. Daf Nun. So the Simur Daf Nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The man about to board a non-stop flight. A non-stop flight? That must be on Daf Nun. The man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from our coolies by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some halachos about stones found in the area of our coolies. So the man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from our coolies by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses our coolie stones which were removed to pave streets. So the man about to board a non-stop flight, who wasn't sure if the rock separated from our coolies by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway for the flight that was going to spray fertilizer on a field during Shemitah, but not during Chol HaMoed, which reminds us, a braisa permits deworming or applying fertilizer to a wounded tree during Shemitah, but not during Chol HaMoed. One may not prune a tree in either period, but may smear a pruned branch with oil during both. The difference between Chol HaMoed and Shemitah is understandable because regarding Shemitah, the Torah prohibited malacha, labor, whereas in Chol HaMoed, even tircha, exertion, is forbidden. Deworming and applying fertilizer, which are preserving the tree's health, are permitted on Shemitah, but pruning, which is strengthening the tree, is prohibited. Daf Nun Alf. So the Simur Daf Nun Alf is beaver because beavers gnaw. So here goes. The men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol. Beaver? That must be on Daf Nun Alf. Gnaw. The men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol. One by breaking sticks in front of it, whose sticks became usser, and one by throwing sticks at it, whose sticks remained permitted. Which reminds us, on the previous Daf, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav saying regarding an idol which is worshipped with a stick, as Rashi explains through shaking it, Shibur mekel befaneo chayev. If he broke a stick before it, he's chayev. Zark mekel befaneo pater. If he threw a stick before it, he's pater. Rav explains that breaking the stick is ke'en zvicho. It's similar to shechting a carbon in the mikdash, but throwing the stick is not ke'en zrika, similar to throwing blood on the Mizbech, because we need Zrika HaMishtaberes, throwing where the item breaks apart, and this stick does not. So the men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol, one by breaking sticks in front of it, whose sticks became usser, and one by throwing sticks at it, whose sticks remained permitted. Watch as a man offered a beaver missing a leg, who was pater, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses slaughtering a balas mum for avodah zorah. Rav explains this cannot refer to minor blemishes, such as doking shiba'ayin, a cataract in the eye, since a ben noach may bring such an animal as a carbon on his private bama. Rather, it refers to mechuser aver, an animal missing a limb, which is disqualified as a carbon even from b'nei noach. So the men in beaver pelt hats worshipping a beaver-shaped idol, one by breaking sticks in front of it, whose sticks became usser, and one by throwing sticks at it, whose sticks remained permitted. Watch as a man offered a beaver missing a leg, who was pater, and were shocked when a rabbi came by and grabbed the handkerchief on top of the idol and used it for himself, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Matzah Barosha Maus Ksusa Kelim, if he found on top of Markulis coins, a garment, or utensils, they're permitted in benefit because they were not placed there to decorate the idol. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simur Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must be on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, who was liquidating his Avodah Zorah store and selling off the Avodah Zorahs he created since they were never worshipped and not Aser Bahana, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas if an idol becomes forbidden when it's made or worshipped, and the difference if it's a Jew's idol or an Akum's idol. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who is liquidating his Avodah Zorah store and selling off the Avodah Zorahs he created since they were never worshipped and not Aser Bahana, but wasn't allowed to sell the stones from Beis Chonyo to the Gizbar for the Mikdash, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi ben Shul asked the Rebbe, Kelei Sheshimshu Behen BeBeis Chonyo, utensils which were used for service in Chonyo's temple, may they be used in the Beis of Mikdash, assuming Beis Chonyo was not an idolatrous temple? Kohanim who served in Beis Chonyo cannot serve in the Mikdash. Does this penalty only apply to Kohanim, the Bnei Deyaninu, who are intelligent beings and should not have served there, or does the penalty even include utensils? Rebbe replied that they are forbidden to be used. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who was liquidating his Avodah Zorah store and selling off the Avodah Zorahs he created since they were never worshipped and not Aser Bahana, but wasn't allowed to sell the stones from Beis Chonyo to the Gizbar for the Mikdash, tried to get a bittul for an idol that was jointly owned by a Jew and an idolater, but was unsuccessful, which reminds us, the Gemara discussed the bittul of Avodah Zorah owned jointly by a Jew and an idolater. Rebbe initially held Yisrael daita de obed kochavim palach. The Jew only serves the idol according to his partner, the idolater's mindset. So when the Akum nullifies his own share, the Jew's share becomes bittul as well. However, in his older years, Rebbe held Yisrael daita de nafshe palach. The Jew worships the idol according to his own mindset, so his share can never be nullified. Two more versions of this discussion are presented. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you discuss shechting a balas mum for avodah zorah, where the animal is missing an aver? That's on daf Nun Aleph. Good. Number two, which daf do you discuss what the din is of idols which were abandoned and the nafka mina if it was b'shas shalom or b'shas mochama? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn that there are three types of asherah trees? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number four, which daf do we discuss firing up an oven with asherah wood and the difference if the oven is new or old? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number five, which daf do we machlok if an idol becomes forbidden when it's made or worshipped and the difference between Jews' idols and Goyim's idols? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number six, which daf do you discuss the difference between doing things to preserve a tree's health versus strengthening the tree regarding Shemitah and Chol Hamoed? That's on daf Nun. Good. Number seven, which daf do you discuss a case where a Jew stood up a brick to bow down to it and an Akum came and bowed down to it first? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number eight, which daf do you discuss the bittul of Avodah Zorah owned jointly by a Jew and an idolater? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number nine, which daf do we discuss if selling an idol nullifies it and the nafka mina of it sold to a Jewish smelter or a non-Jewish smelter? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 10, which daf do we learn that if one found on top of an idol, coins, a garment, or utensils, they're mutter bahana because they were not placed there to decorate the idol? That's on daf Nun Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.